Blog Talk Radio.
Show. Good afternoon, folks. It's the Airline Radio Talk Show and the Eastern Airlines Radio Show, and we're back live on the air again. As many of our listeners know, a few months back, we decided that after 13 years of radio broadcasting, we were going to hang it up and retire. Ever heard of that word, retire? Well, it means different things to different people, I guess. For us, it meant signing off from what we really enjoy doing, having fun and talking about what we loved, flying. After retiring, quotes, for about 2 months, life became very boring to this broadcaster, and the fun was gone. My co-host, partner, and many of our listeners were encouraging the show to come back on the air again. So here we are. We'll try it again. But this time it'll be a different format. This time it's going to be a variety type of show of sorts, I guess. We're starting out by going back to our youth, and that's pretty far back for most of us listening to this show. Some of us remember even World War II, the Korean War, of course, and the days before TV, entertainment, and internet. It was called back then radio and movies, and what you saw at the movie theater as far as news. Hi, my name is Neil Holland. I'm a retired captain with Eastern Airlines and producer of the show. And if you're listening in on the show's website, which you know by tuning it in, blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie, and you'd like to call in and talk with our guest, host, or just add your memories to our show, then why not call us at this number? Jot it down and keep it handy and come back to see us every week, we hope. It's area code 213-816-1611. I'll see your number on my caller board and ask if you'd like to join the host and share those memories with us. You know, folks, I normally will make a postum note with the time and day of some important webinars or something I want to see on the internet. I'll then put that note right close to my monitor so it would remind me, because my memory is not as sharp as it was in yesteryear. So I won't forget, in other words, to tune in or just to call in. So why not make a note of the call number now? 213-816-1611. And also, as you know, many of you know, we're a satellite-based radio station and heard around the world. As a matter of fact, we have listeners in over 50 countries. We did. And I just checked my administrative page, and by golly, most of them are still showing on the map as to have listened to an archived version of our past shows. I see this past week, we picked up Uzbekistan. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing that, folks, in Uzbekistan. Puerto Rico and Croatia showed up on our archive. That's what a broadcasting antenna of over 22,000 miles would do for a radio show. We reached the world. Now, once again, let me repeat that number if you'd like to add your comments to our listening audience, or you might just want to listen to us on your smartphone. And I guess that's why they call it a smartphone. It's a radio, too. It's radio, TV, internet, everything's right on that little old handheld device we call a smartphone. The area code 213-816-1611. Call us now. We'd like to hear from you. When we see your area code again, I'll open up your microphone and just join in the conversation. Now, our show today will be based on memories of our youth. Hey, why not be part of the show? You got the number to call in, so what do you have to share with us? A whole lifetime of fun and meaningful things you did. And here's some things you might want to consider if you're listening to the show and you want to talk about it and add your 2 cents to the show. We'd like to hear how you got in trouble with your parents and how you tried to avoid their punishment, which in my case, it was either to switch the paddle or the terrible belt from my father's pants. So that was hard to take, but sometimes you tried to avoid it with your life. Tricks you played and you got away with. Do you remember some tricks you played and you got away with? Who was your best friend? Today they call that BFF, I think. I think that's what BFS stands for, forever, best friend forever. Well, I think during school, high school, junior high school, and so forth, we had best friends. How about your favorite radio and TV and movies? What were you listening to back then? And when did you get your first television? I can remember I didn't get a television when some of our neighbors got there, so we wound up on their front porch looking through their window at the TV. That little old thing was showing Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Your most memorable year of school, do you remember that and what you did to make it memorable? I got a few things I could add to that. They should have kicked me out of high school for doing some of those things. And if you can remember as far back as I can, and that would be World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, and we'd like to talk about it and hear what you have to say. Now, we do have some folks that are with us, and of course, Jim Harris has been with us the last few shows before we went off the air, and Jim was very encouraging about, hey, let's do something. Let's talk about something. So we got Jim Harris on the phone. And Jim is in that little old town. I'm going to let Jim tell us about where he lives and say hello, Jim.
Hey, hello. This is Jim, Captain Jim Harris. I guess you might call us retired. I'm not sure about that definition, but anyway, it is that it is. I'm in a place called Dripping Springs, Texas, which I'm about 15 miles due west of Austin, Texas. And the good news is I live on a hill. I got 22 acres on a hill on a dead-end road. Mm-hmm. It keeps all the riffraff away. So I like that part.
Okay.
So, but anyway, it's a great place to live. We have been discovered, unfortunately, because we're too close to Austin, Texas. So it's growing rapidly, but the good news is I can protect myself from what I have.
And all right, very good. And another Jim is on the line, and he's had some problems here of late. And Jim, tell us about it. Tell us who you are, Captain Jim Holder. Hello, Jim Holder from Georgia.
Hello, yeah, Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, I did a dumb thing back in January. I was going to build a fire in the fireplace, and so I went out in the front yard and got some firewood and came in, loaded, and wasn't watching where I was going and stepped into a magazine holder and broke my femur. And buddies, you don't want to do that. And I've been in recovery now for some time, and I'm getting around pretty good. And I'm glad to be back on the radio show too. I missed it just like Jim and Neil did. And I'll be glad to participate and let you know what I think about things. And that'll be it. Back to you, Neil.
That's all we want. That's you to join in the conversation. And we've always over the years, Jim, as long as you've been on the show. We've heard some great, great stories, so I'm sure you might be able to reach back there and grab one or two and talk about them today. And the femur, you said the femur, is that your little toe or is that a big bone somewhere in your leg or somewhere?
Well, that's the big bone below your knee.
Okay, that's
somewhere
a bad one.
Down there somewhere. I don't know exactly where it broke, but... I had the cast all the way, you know, there, and the cast is gone now.
Yeah.
And I can hobble around, but I've got to be very careful.
Okay. And
but it is from the knee down, I know that.
Okay. And we also have from Canada, way up there in the Montreal area, Renee. Renee, hello. Tell us where you are, who you are, what you did with Eastern, and whatever you want to talk about.
Actually, I'm in London, Ontario, but I worked for Eastern mostly for many years in Toronto. It was a big operation. We had 8 flights a day for us. That was really, really big. And so we miss Toronto, and I miss Eastern, and I miss you guys. So I'm glad you're back on the radio.
Thanks, Renee, and thanks over the years for your support of the show, too. We're always happy to hear from you. And I've got one more caller just called in, put himself on the board here, and it's area code 757. I forgot, that sounds like an airplane I used to fly.
Stop
the Boeing 757.
Stop it.
Who is this?
Quit it. Go sit down.
Well, this is a good conversation we got going here, folks. Let's listen in a little bit longer and see if we can hear some interesting conversation. Area code 757. Would you like to tell us who you are?
Hello, Neil. This is Michael Saul.
Michael, good to hear from you. You've been away, and a lot of folks don't know where you've been, but you've been over in an area that is at war, Israel and Gaza.
I'm currently in Israel, and I'm getting ready to go on my shift at 8 o'clock. It's 7:15 in the evening here.
Wow. This is, I think this is the longest overseas call we've ever had. And what are you calling on? Are you calling on, you're just calling your regular phone line, 757?
My regular phone. I have international calling.
Wow. So,
good to hear you. I'm glad you're back on the air, Neil.
Michael, thanks so much for your support. And, of course, Michael was the president of EARA and did so much work for all of us retirees and kept things going for as long as he had the support to do so and did a great job. Thank you so much, Michael, for being with us today. And I wish you safe harbor over there. And I'd like to hear, I know you can't discuss a lot of things that you do over in that part of the world.
Well, I can do this. They have the farm that I'm associated with right now. They taught me how to milk cows. So they milk cows three times a day. I'm milking 275 cows starting at 8 o'clock tonight.
Oh,
I'll be done around 2 in the morning.
Gee whiz. I hope it's not by hand. And they do have a hook.
No, you hook everything up. You test by hand. You put the antiseptic by hand, but everything else is by machine.
God, how many gallons do you work a night? You ever figure that out?
Liters, I don't know.
Liters, yeah.
Well,
it's so good to hear from you. And by the way, your transmission is 5x5. It's good. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
So anytime you're bored over there and we're on the air, we want to hear from you and tell us as much as you can.
Well, the interesting thing is, while I'm milking, I'm allowed to carry a sidearm.
Okay.
First
I would imagine
time ever.
You would. Yeah, I would imagine. So how
okay.
long have you been over there, Michael?
I just came back 2.5 weeks ago. And I was in the States for about a month, and I'll be here for about a month and then come back.
Okay. Well, we hope you stay safe and give us a call when you can. We appreciate hearing from you, Michael.
Yeah, and then in June I'm going to be there about 6 months.
Okay.
Starting
all right.
June.
Well, let's stay in touch, okay?
You got it.
Okay.
I'll listen by.
All right. Thanks. Folks, we're just going to do a little thing called, I used to be a real, and I still am a fan of Seinfeld, the TV series. I think I've watched about 3 or 4 times every episode for 8 years that they were on the air. And you remember they called, George called their show, Show About Nothing. It's a show about nothing. So I think this is what we're going to call this, a show about nothing. But we're going to, mostly today, we're going to talk about our youth way back then. Okay. I got an area code 615. Who might that be?
Hey, Neil, this is Harry.
Hey, Harry, good to hear from you. Jim Holder and Jim Harris, you remember Harry Lindquist?
Yes, I sure do. First time you know,
yes.
Yeah, hello, Jim and Jim.
Well, Harry, do you have a trip for all three of us?
Yeah, let's go. Can you be here in 2 hours?
Yeah, I'm right there now in mine.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear you guys. I've missed the show. I'm glad you're back.
All right, thanks so much. Hey, listen, let's start off the show by a little song that I like to hear, and you'll remember what year I'm talking about when you hear this tune. And if you're probably younger than 50 years old, you probably never heard of the band. But here we go. If I can find it. Yeah, here it is. That's not it. I'm going to shut that one down.
Saturday morning, cereal chapters one.
I like that. I could listen to it too. Two or three times. Yeah. Okay, here's.
Sammy Kaye's orchestra, right?
No.
Is that String of Pearls?
That's String of Pearls by Glenn Miller.
That's right. Jim Harris, tell us about the first paragraph of Jim Miller. Don't tell us who was in the band. I don't want to hear all those people. But just tell us about when it was recorded, if you got some information about it.
I don't really have any information about it. I just know that Glenn Miller, he was going to hop a flight to go somewhere, and he was lost, never heard from again.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and wasn't it somewhere around
over
England?
In England, wasn't it?
Was it England?
Yeah, it was England, Germany, or somewhere. I don't know where it was.
Yeah.
I just know
England,
he hopped
somewhere. Yeah.
He just hopped a flight, and nobody's ever heard from since.
Okay, well, good music he created over the years, and beautiful. I've got another one that I was going to play here, but, you know, I got to thinking there's a lot of things in here that I needed to bleep out. And so you won't have to do your own bleeping. You'll hear it, and then you can bleep yourself from your ears.
Hey, we're all adults.
Bleep out. Because this is one of my favorites. And if you've never heard Oscar Brand do his songs about World War II, they are incredible. They are incredible. And he wrote ballads one after another. I think I saw he wrote 300 ballads. And this one, I think, is a fun song. And, of course, we're mature enough to listen. We don't have to censor it out. So you do your own censoring, but we're going to leave it raw. Just the way Oscar Brand recorded it. See if you remember this. Probably never even heard of Oscar Brand, but here's what this ballad is about.
I wanted wings till I got the goddamn thing. Now I don't want them anymore. They taught me how to fly, then they sent me off to die. I've had a belly full of war. You can save those goddamn zeros for those other goddamn heroes. Distinguished flying crosses do not compensate for losses. Buster, I wanted wings till I got the goddamn things. Now I don't want them anymore. I'll take the dames while the rest go down in flames. I got no desire to be burned. Air combat spells romance, but it makes me wet my pants. I'm not a fighter, I have learned. You can save those Mitsubishi for those other sons of bitches, cause I'd rather lay a woman than be shot down in a Grumman Buster. I wanted wings till I got the goddamn things. Now I don't want them anymore. I don't care to tour over Berlin or the Ruhr. Black always makes me lose my lunch. I get the urge to pray when they holler bombs away. I'd rather be home with a bunch. But there's one thing you can't laugh off, and that's when they shoot your ass off. I'd rather be a home buster with my ass than with a cluster buster. I wanted wings till I got the goddamn things. Now I don't want them anymore. Now I'm too young to die in a damned old PBY. That's for the eager, not for me. I don't trust my luck to be picked up by a duck after I've crashed into the sea. For I'd rather be a bellhop than a flyer on a flat top with my hands around a bottle, not a goddamn throttle buster. I wanted wings till I got the goddamn things. Now I don't want them anymore. They feed us lousy chow, but we stay alive somehow on dehydrated eggs and milk and stew. The rumor has it next they'll be dehydrating sex. That's the day I tell the coach I'm through. I've managed all the dangers, the shooting back of strangers, but when I get home late, I want my woman straight, Buster. I wanted wings till I got the goddamn things. Now I don't want them anymore. The day that we bombed Metz, I ran out of cigarettes. I always smoke one just for luck. They make them by the ton, but I haven't got a one. Oh, what I'd give to have a butt. Home front may be pitching, but I'll still do my bitching till I find a real sharp cookie who can mass produce a nookie buster. I wanted wings till I got the goddamn thing. Now I don't want them anymore.
Now you know what Oscar Brand's all about.
Yeah.
But he's got one after another about the tower and control tower. And,
I got that album.
Do you?
Michael took it up to college, and all the boys up there just love to hear it in North Georgia.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got Jim Harris.
I'll be ready.
Jim Harris told me about
we're off script.
Yeah. You know, we're not off script. We're on script.
Oh, okay.
Jim Harris, I want to ask you a few of these things, and I think you've got some answers for them. How do we get these terms that we use, like a shot of whiskey? Do you know what a shot of whiskey, where we got that term, a shot of whiskey?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Tell us.
When way back when, in Western days, a cartridge was 45, which was 14 cents, I believe it was. And so whenever you went in a bar to get something to drink, the drink is also 14 cents. So if you wanted a drink, you could always trade in one of your cartridges.
Oh.
It was an even break.
Okay. And that's how it became known as a shot of whiskey?
That's right. That's how it became known as a shot.
Okay.
I thought that was rather interesting.
Now, in aviation, of course, most pilots, Jim Harris, sometimes we use them just in just fun. Of course, we don't want to buy the farm, but where did that term buying the farm come from?
Okay, I'm going to add a little bit here because I can't find it on the computer right now. But what it amounted to, when you was in the military, you had a $5,000 life insurance policy. So if you got croaked, $5,000 would buy a farm. So henceforth, when you bought the farm, that's when you collect your $5,000.
Okay. All right. Let's see if I can find another one that you might have some information on.
Okay.
Over a barrel. Where did that come from? You remember over a barrel?
The over a barrel thing, when somebody would be drowning or had water in their lungs, they would put them over one of these wooden pot-bellied barrels and roll them back.
Come on in,
Peggy. They'd roll a barrel back and forth in an effort to get the water out of their lungs, which it didn't work, but it was a good thought.
Now, here's one, hogwash.
I do not. I can't remember that one.
Well, I'm going to tell you, steamboats carry both people and animals. And since smells so bad, they would be washed before being put on board the boat. The mud and other filth that was washed off were considered useless hogwash. That's where we got the word hogwash.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyhow, there's a ton of those, but don't you feel like you're a little bit smarter, guys, listening to the show, knowing those
always
expressions? And here's
hey,
some,
always.
Here's a pretty good real short one-liners. The liquid inside young coconuts cannot be used as a substitute for blood plasma. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And no piece of paper can be folded in half more than 7 times. Now, I bet you everybody listening is going to get a piece of paper and try to fold it more than 7 times.
Depends on how big it is.
Yeah, that's, well, I don't know. It just says a piece of paper. A piece of paper. What does a piece of paper mean? Is that paper in a notebook or is it a piece of newspaper?
It didn't say.
They don't fill us in on all of this stuff. How about donkeys kill more people annually than plane crashes or shark attacks? So I guess we could say, watch your ass.
Yeah, cover your ass there.
Yeah. Here's a good one. You burn more calories sleeping than you do watching television.
Where do you get these?
Well, oak trees do not produce acorns until they are 50 years of age or older. I didn't know that. I would hate to go into the acorn tree business or whatever. The first product to have a barcode was, I bet you could never guess this. You know the barcodes that they scan? Do you know what product was the first to ever have a barcode on it?
Candy bar.
Well, it's close to it, Jim. It's Wrigley's gum.
Ah, okay. Mm.
Wrigley's gum was the first one to have it. And here's the one. The King of Hearts is the only thing, without a mustache. The King of Hearts. The rest of them, the spades, the clubs, and the diamonds, I guess, have mustaches on their kings. And here's one. American Airlines saved $40,000 in 1987 by eliminating one olive from each salad served in first class. And you know what they did with those olives? Put them in Neil's martini glass.
Boy, that seems like it's a rather extravagant figure.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them here, but I'd rather get some stuff from you guys here. Hey, before we do that, I want you to hear this. I found this, and this will bring back some memories to you. It's not long. It's probably about 20 seconds long. So do you remember this, or did you ever listen to this or watch it?
Here he comes, here he comes. There the trumpet, there the drum. Here he comes. Hop along, Cassidy. Here he comes.
Ooh. Remember that one?
Not me.
I don't.
You don't remember Hop Along, Cassidy?
I don't remember what it was from. But, of course, I list Hop Along, Cassidy, of course.
Well, that was TV. That's early television and the movies. You went to the movies and you saw the Hop Along and cereal. Cereals, they call them.
Yes.
Yeah,
about 14 to 15, 16 episodes. Yeah, every week you'd get a new one.
And you remember what kind of color his horse was? And what his horse's
right,
name
I think.
Was? You remember his horse's name? It wasn't
Hop Along Cassidy's
no.
horse?
Yeah, Hop Along Cassidy's horse. Golly.
No.
You guys have, I'm going to have to give this one to you. He rode a white horse. And that white horse's name was Topper. T-O-P-P-E-R. Now, of course, we all remember Roy Rogers' horse.
Trigger.
Gene Arc, huh?
Champion. Trigger and Champion.
Trigger and Champion, that's right. Somebody told me they stuffed Trigger and they got him in a museum.
They at one time they did have, there's a museum out in California.
Yeah, and they got him stuffed. I don't know which one it was, but probably right beside Lassie, I guess.
Might have been.
Damn, Jim, you know some stuff, Jim.
Jim Holder,
I'm good at
trivia.
I'm usually pretty good at trivia.
Harry, you know all these. No, you're not old enough. Yeah, you are too.
When you don't have to think about
yeah, I'm old enough.
Okay, how about this one? I'll give everybody has heard of this one. Name.
I love Lucy.
I love Lucy. Very good. Golly, did we? That was all television. That was back in the 50s, wasn't it? I think it was.
What was the answer?
I love Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some of us watched that. And finally, the last one I got here, sound effects, is do you remember this gal here and what show was she on?
One ringy dingy. Oh, gracious, good afternoon. Is this the party to whom I am speaking? Mr. George Meany? Good. Mr. Meany, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company. We have several complaints from the White House about nasty phone calls. No, not to the president, about the president. Well, it must have been you. Anybody who'd say those things about Mr. Nixon has to be a meanie. Communications Workers of America humor there. What's that? You say you're just mad because nobody explained phase two to you? Well, don't blame the president. Nobody explained it to him either. Oh, look, Mr. Meany, I can explain it. It's really very simple. You see, the Republicans figure if they don't bring up the economy now, the Democrats will bring it up during the campaign. Mr. Meany, control yourself. There you go again. If you don't watch that mouth of yours and what you're saying, the AFL and the CIO we'll be hearing from the FB of I and the CIA. Hello?
Oh, she was good. She was good. Ernestine. And Harry,
Lily,
I think.
Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, Lily, I think Harry said laugh in. Yeah.
No,
that's what it was, laugh in.
That was Jim.
Yeah. Jim Harris. Okay, Jim. Okay, golly, peace. Now, I don't know who's in the background here. I don't know. I think it might be you, Harry. But at any rate, you know, my wife and I go to Costco, and, well, you don't know. That's a phrase that we use often, and very too much, rather. Like, you know. But at any rate, we go by this house, this old house. And it has a tin roof, and you can see underneath the house. Now, it looks like it's probably about a two-bedroom house made of wood, and I call it the Snuffy Smith house. Do you guys remember Snuffy Smith?
Sure.
And he was a cartoon character, remember? And he
I do.
Lived out, yeah, he lived out in that old little old house. It was stacked up on blocks. I think in Mississippi, that's probably the way they built their houses a long time ago, Jim Holder. They just set up a bunch of rocks in a pile and scattered around the perimeter and then put some boards on it and built the rest of the house. But I remember those, and you remember those too. And I think all of us here remember those. Maybe not Harry, but at any rate, that was one of the fun things of my youth. I used to love to crawl underneath the house, and you'd discover spiders. You'd discover just about everything. Chickens go in there to lay their eggs, and there'd be a snake or two from time to time. But the thing that intrigued me when I crawled underneath that house, this was my grandma's house, and she was built up on a pile of rocks. And we snuck under there as kids to hide and seek and get away or just to have fun. And the thing I remember is that dirt underneath that house was really dry, like sand. Uh-huh. And I can look and see these little holes that looked like a inverted ice cream cone. It looked like an ice cream cone. And these little holes were about the size diameter at the top, funneling all the way down. They were about the size of a quarter. And I'd take a little straw, a piece of grass or a stem, and I'd stick in that hole, and I'd go round and around that hole, and I would be saying and chanting, "Doodlebug, doodlebug, come and get your bread and butter. Doodlebug, doodlebug." And out would come this little old bug about the size of a raisin or a big tick. And we kids loved to put them in our hand. When they came out, we'd grab them, and we'd have a handful of these bugs. They were called doodlebugs. Do you remember that, Jim Holder? You probably.
No.
Mrs. You never did crawl underneath the house?
Yes, I do, and I have a story if you want me to tell you about
it.
Yeah,
quick. Right about now. I'm running out of things to say. Go ahead.
Okay, I had a friend named James. My name's James, too. But he called me up one day. I remember his telephone number, you know, but a lot of stuff y'all talking about, I don't remember. And he said, "You need to come down here. I got something I want to show you." So I went down there, and we crawled underneath their house, and it was a girly book, you know. It actually showed maybe a nipple, you know, and a T-shirt. It really wasn't much one.
He does it.
And, well, I forgot my did I get muted?
Yeah, no. You're here. You're here. We're listening
okay,
to your girly book story.
So I went down there, and it was a girly book. And, we looked at that book. Man, we flipped through the pages and everything, and I left and went home, which is about a block away, and about 10 minutes later, he called me up and said, "You can never come see me to me again. We're through." I told my mother that girly book was yours, and that's the true story. And he was lying like hell it was his, but he got caught with that girly book, and that's a true story about junior high, you know.
Well, that sounds better than my doodlebugs.
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm surprised, being from Mississippi, you never heard of what a doodlebug was.
Well, maybe we used them to catch fish with. I don't know.
Well, you remember they looked like a little ice cream cone, little old small things, and a bunch of them. And these bugs would bury into the sand, and they'd create a funnel, and so that if any ants would crossing, was crossing that, they'd slide down that funnel to the mouth of the doodlebug.
Mm.
And so anyhow, look it up, doodlebug. It's actually a bug, and it's a wicked-looking bug. You know, if I'd have known what it looked like back then, I would never have put it in my hand. It's got claws, pinchers, and everything. I mean, it's an ugly-looking bug. Anybody, Jim Harrison, how about you, Renee? What were you doing up there in Canada to have fun?
I was an Army brat. My dad was in the Royal Canadian Army Medical Corps, and we kept moving all over the place. I never had time to get into trouble.
Where did you like that you moved to more than any other place that you moved to?
The best place was he was posted here in London, Ontario. And for me, I was a young kid, and they had playgrounds and all sorts of activities all the time. So they kept us busy. It's changed here now, but that was one of the best memories I have had of being an Army brat.
Yeah. Yeah, did you guys up there in Canada play marbles?
Oh, yeah, we did that, and tops and all these. We played all the – everybody played those games.
Yeah, I like marbles. I was pretty good at it. And you remember if you had one of those steelies, it was a big old steel marble. It wasn't marble, it was metal. It wasn't made of glass. And you use that thing to bust up the pile when you first started the game out so you can start shooting those marbles out of the circle. And you owned that marble when it went out of that circle. And we had those giant steelies. I mean, they were looked like about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. They were good.
Well,
we called them
log rollers.
Log rollers, okay. Log rollers. Really? That's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And remember, you used to get one that you always looked at the marble that you wanted to collect and put in your pocket and own it. So some of the guys that you played with, they had some good-looking marbles, and you were trying to shoot for those marbles to get them in your collection. I think that was the purpose of the game, wasn't it? I forgot.
Yes, it was.
The purpose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whoever got the most marbles are the prettiest marbles. But anyhow, that's one game that we used to play, and we used to play other games like Spin the Bottle and Post Office. They were that kind of children games that could be considered adult games now.
You'd be put in jail for playing them games now, Neil.
Yeah, you could. You could at that. Yeah. Well, some of the things that we used to say and listen to our parents, and you remember, I used to hear my mama call me at time for dinner, and I had better be there with my brother time of dinner and not stray too far so I could hear my mother call me to come to dinner. And if I didn't, you know, she'd always say, if you don't get in here, I'm going to get a switch after you or something like that. But how were you punished? Jim Harris, how were you punished by your mother and father, if you want to tell us that?
No, I don't mind at all. My daddy had called a leather strap.
Uh-huh.
And what it was for is to sharpen your straight razor.
Yeah.
And it had a leather strap there, and also one made out of some kind of fabric. And you start off on the leather, stropping your straight razor, you'd finish up on the cotton part. Boy, it'd make it so sharp, well, you could split a hair with it.
Yeah.
And by the way, and if I did something that he didn't like, the razor strap worked pretty good. It gets your attention really quickly.
Well, you know, the belt was always a pretty harsh treatment, especially when they used the buckle part of it.
Oh, boy.
I never had that happen.
And me neither, but I didn't want it.
Yeah. Well,
my daddy was My daddy was firm but fair.
Firm but fair. All right. Okay. Well, I remember I went to military school back when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And when we got so many demerits, in other words, we did a lot of things wrong that we weren't supposed to, well, they counted them up. And when you reached a certain score, you either went to the captain or the dean of boys, and he was a captain, a military captain, and he would put the strap to you. And it was his belt. I mean, you knew that you were going to get the belt. And if you really did a punishment, then you walked what we call the bull ring. The bull ring was out on the football field, walking around the perimeter of the football field about 25 to 50 times. And that would take up all of your Saturday where everybody was gone downtown watching the movie, Hopalong Cassidy, and eating popcorn or whatever. You were out there walking the bull ring. Now, a lot of people would prefer the bull ring over the belt because that captain, he sometimes used the buckle end of that belt to punish it with the demerits. Now, I think that would be called abusive treatment today. And
it probably would be cruel and unhuman treatment there.
And they had paddles, but the one that I feared a lot, too, was my mama when she told me, go out and pick a switch. And I'd pick a switch. I'd pick one that would break easily if it came down on your rear end or your legs. And she'd send me back out with one that was a little stronger. And she'd strip all the leaves off that thing. And here she come on my legs. I mean, she was really burning them up. You ever get the switch, guys?
I never did.
Yeah. I did.
Mississippi sounded like it was a switch state. Switch state. They didn't use it up in Canada, did they, Renee?
Well, I got the strap from my dad.
You got the strap.
Just a regular belt. That was the worst I got.
Yeah. I don't think they do that anymore, do they?
Not that anybody I'm around to know about it.
Okay.
Neil, Jim Holder's going to have to hang up, carry about my lunch here for me.
Okay, she got your lunch. All right.
Well,
I was going to ask Kentucky Fried Chicken. All right, well, that sounds like it would be better to eat that chicken and listen to this show.
I'll see you next week.
Goodbye. All right, see you next
week.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Were you ever forced, guys that are left here, Jim's no longer with us, but do you guys ever eat food that your mother and father forced you to eat? And what was it?
Okra.
Okra?
Fried okra. Yep.
Oh, well, I can see eating stewed okra, you know, with all the slime and everything, it sounds like it came out of some part of the body that the okra. But fried okra,
I like
that's
it,
like eating fried French fries.
It was
pretty
good.
I love fried okra, yeah.
Yep,
how
the other stuff looks like it. The other stuff, when it's boiled or something, it's like it's been eaten before.
Yeah.
Not very good.
Do any of you guys, I know Jim Holder does, I mean Jim Harris does, because he's my age. We're the same age, Jim and I. But do you remember anything about World War II? What is your memory about World War II? Can you remember that far back, Jim Harris?
Yeah, he can. I remember when it started. And, of course, I remember when it's over with, too. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was a happy, happy time when it was over with.
Well, I remember we were living on Miami Beach, and my mama had just divorced my dad, and she put us in military school for about 2 years, and then she brought us back down to Miami Beach where she set up a beauty shop, and that's where she supported my brother and I. My dad didn't give too much support to us, but at any rate, I remember where we lived. We lived across the street from a hotel that's no longer there. It was called the Fleetwood Hotel. And the Fleetwood back then was, a big fancy hotel back in the 40s. And the military took over that hotel and they rehabbed the soldiers returning from World War II that were wounded and taught them how to cope with their wounds. And they rehabbed them right there in that hotel. And my apartment house was right directly across the street from that hotel. And those soldiers, we would go out there and entertain those soldiers by putting a rope around four trees. And we'd try to make it as square as we could because we wanted to be that to be our boxing ring. And we had boxing gloves that we got for Christmas. And we would go out there and put on a show for those wounded soldiers that would come to the park right across the street from my apartment. I mean, the apartment, yeah, and next to the Fleetwood Hotel. And they, in turn, would give us souvenirs from World War II. Most of the souvenirs were coins and foreign dollar bills and yens and all the different bills from that country. So we had quite a collection. And I remember I got a bayonet, giving a kid a bayonet. Now, that wasn't a smart thing to do. But I got a Japanese bayonet, and I can remember that just like it was yesterday, World War II. But anyhow, those were the days. Now, here's a song I'm going to play here before we go off the air, and probably won't get to most of the whole song, but see if you remember this song. And it was written back in 1944, and it had to do with World War II. Whether you can associate it with it or not, I don't know. But it's a beautiful, beautiful song, and it's sang by a beautiful, beautiful lady. And if I can find it, I don't know whether I can even find it. I can't find it. I didn't load it up on my turntable here, so I don't have it. So you guys are not going to hear it tonight today. But anyhow, it was a song called Sentimental Journey, and it was sung by Doris Day.
Oh, I love that song.
And it was written and played by Les Brown and his band of renown. You remember Les Brown and his band of renown? Yeah.
Yep, Les Brown and band of renown.
Yeah.
I love the song.
Yeah, I do too. Sentimental Journey.
I listen. Where I live, there's a station at 91.3, and they play all kinds of music like that all the time. So I've heard Sentimental Journey more than once there. And it's a great tune and great song.
Yeah, it is. And, reflecting on the good old days can be a meaningful, enjoyable experience for those of any age, really. Nostalgia offers individuals the opportunity to revisit the memories of the past and appreciates the experiences that shaped us into who we are today if we came from that generation of time. But it's important to recognize that while the past may have its charms, the present and future hold just as much potential for joy and fulfillment. By embracing the present while cherishing the past, it's possible to enjoy the best of both worlds, I guess. Well, guys, that's about all the time we have for today's show. And I'm gonna sign off with something you may have remembered listening to. It's a Garrison Keillor. You ever hear of Garrison Keillor?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It was Garrison Keillor Canadian, Renee?
No, I haven't heard of that name.
Okay, well, he lived way up there in Minneapolis and Minnesota in that area. But anyhow, he always signed off by saying, "It's nice that you tuned us in, and we hope you come back next week, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. And he would sign off. Do you remember that?
I used to listen to that. I heard it numerous times.
That's right. He would tell a story. He'd pick up that microphone and start telling a story about the Lake Wobegon community. And he'd sign off where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average. Wow. So anyhow, this is my favorite sign-off music, so we're going to sign off until next week. About an hour of our time is gone. I don't want to go over time here, but here's a song that I really enjoy signing off with. And I thank
you,
Neil, guys.
Thank you for another great show.
Well, it was a show. I don't know whether it was great or not. Only time will tell.
It was. It always is.
But anyhow, here's one that I think you'll enjoy listening to. See you.
Hey, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.